Oh, good morning. This morning, it's nice to see many people here. It's half-term week. It should be bank holiday tomorrow. So the weather's getting ready for bank holiday, but we've fooled it this year because we've changed it. So it'll be awful tomorrow and we shan't mind. So notice sheets have been emailed, just so you know, and paper copies are available in the meeting room if you happen to have an email. Or if you'd like a hard copy, sometimes even if you can get an email, it's nice to have and you can look at what you watch on the telly, I find can be handy. Ladies' Fellowship, Jubilee Coffee Morning, Saturday at 10:30 a.m. until 2 o'clock. All are welcome. Please wear your Union Jack shirts. Sign up sheets to serve tea or coffee and welcome people are on the board. Please consider by welcoming or indeed by serving tea or coffee after the service. And there's some rather nice cakes out there afterwards, so I'm quite looking forward to half past 11 this morning. So, those are the notices. We come to worship God. We go into, it's the fifth Sunday, so when you're the fifth Sunday, us Baptists can do as we like, don't we, on the fifth Sunday. But Psalm 33 puts it like this: we wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. May your unfailing love, O Lord, rest upon us, even as we put our trust in you. We come this morning to put our trust fully in the Lord. And it's, you know, it takes time. It takes time to sit in God's presence, to just allow his word to come to us, to the busyness of the world to somehow withdraw and for us to just hear what God has to say to us. So we come this morning to seek God's presence and to ask his blessing. And we're going to begin by singing our first hymn, Be Still, for the presence of the Lord, the Holy One, is here. Let's sense his presence as we come together this morning. We're going to say some prayers and then we're going to say together the Lord's Prayer. Let's pray. Father God, we come to you this morning because we recognize just who you are. You are the great and majestic God who's created this world, who's given to each of us life and breath and hope. You are the one who sits enthroned, circled above the earth, the one who looks on people like grasshoppers, who stretches the heavens like a canopy and spreads them out like a tent. Lord, you are the one who rules supremely. And we come this morning to your feet. We come to acknowledge your power and your majesty and your purposes, Lord. You have a plan, a purpose for each of us here this morning. You have a plan for each nation of this world. You have a plan for each and every situation. Lord, you are about your business, and we pray this morning that we might somehow have confidence that though we can't always see clearly, we might trust and we might know that you are indeed God, and that you remain in charge. So we come this morning as we draw closer to you and we realize our own failings and sins. Lord, as we draw closer to perfection, we acknowledge that we are sinful people, that we disappoint you on so many occasions, Lord, and Lord, we disappoint ourselves. We don't always say the things we ought to say. We don't always do the things we ought to do. And Lord, sometimes we do things for which we're sorry. Lord, we come this morning and we say, Lord, to you that we are truly sorry. And we seek your forgiveness. We know that if we confess our sins, then you are faithful and you are just. And you forgive us our sins. Lord, you cleanse us from all unrighteousness. With King David, we would ask, Lord, that not only would you forgive us and cleanse us, but that you would indeed fill us with your spirit. Strengthen us, we pray. And help us when we face those same temptations again to be able to turn from them by your power and strength. But we seek to grow and to become more like Jesus. And we ask, Lord, that you would help us to do so. So, Lord, hear our prayers as we pray this morning. Add your blessing to every part of our lives. Be amongst us this morning during our service and use the hymns and the prayers and the word from your scriptures to encourage us in our lives. Well, may it be that when we leave this place, others may see us and they may know that we have been with you. So bless us and lead us, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. We're going to sing "God, You Are the King of Glory," and we're going to sing it through twice, I believe. Thank you. time for children's talk, but there's who's the youngest? Yeah, you are. Simon's the youngest by many years. So you know last Sunday was Rogation Sunday. Did you know that? You don't care whether it's Rogation Sunday or not, do you? Rogation Sunday is when my sisters got married, one married a Baptist minister and one married a farmer. So they were never able to come and see me because they were always far too busy. They got their flocks to be concerned with in both cases. So Rogation Sunday is when my brother-in-law used to get the vicar from the local church to come to his 1,100 acres of farm in Ipswich under the Orwell Bridge, if ever you go that way. And the local vicar would walk under that bridge. By the way, he's just retired, that local vicar, after serving in the same church for 55 years. I know, it's amazing. I think in the end they were quite pleased he went, because I'll be honest with you, I think he was wheeled out in his wheelchair. He was 82 when he retired. But it's quite amazing, really, isn't it? But Rogation Sunday is when you go and you get the vicar to bless each field. And Rogation comes from the Latin verb to ask God to bless. I just think it's an interesting thought that you ask God to bless the fields, and the vicar would go and spread a bit of holy water in each field, and then he would go back to his church, and my brother-in-law would then go and get all the stuff out, the tractors and the ploughs and the seeds, and he'd spend the rest of the summer just going bonkers, just harvesting and growing and all the things he did. To ask God for something doesn't mean you sit back. That's what I learned from Rogation Sunday, that you ask God and then you go and put your best effort into the situation so that God may truly work in those circumstances. I just thought I'd just make a couple of comments. This is not a second sermon, but you know, yesterday I never go to buy my bedding plants until the last Saturday in May, because we've been caught out before. It's cold in May, as you well know, and you can lose your plants because of frost. So I bought some bedding plants yesterday, and it's just two things. I was doing some weeding just to get ready, and it's amazing, isn't it, how these weeds, they grow, don't they? They grow in all manner of places you'd never grow seeds. And I've got this temptation sometimes just to go to my patio and just pull the tops off. But you know as well as I do, that's not a good thing to do, is it? Because in the next moment, they grow again. So what I do sometimes is I take bits of the patio off, and I pull the weeds out by their roots. And you know, I've got some of my patio is blocks. You pull the block up, and underneath the block is a whole row of roots. You take the whole lot out. There's more under the ground than above the ground. I think to myself, you know, sometimes in my life, when we just say sorry for the things we've done wrong, it's a bit like taking the top off the plant, the weeds. What we need to do, is it not? We need to come to God and ask him to forgive us and ask him to get down there to the roots to stop that sin and those thoughts developing as they so often do. So I just encourage you today. I encourage myself, really, as you look at these weeds in the garden, just think about the things in our lives that are not always good. And the whole network underneath that supports those things. So it's just a thought, really, this morning. Another thing I thought this morning, as I did as my wife tells me this year in the garden, I don't always, but she said that fuchsia bush, my wife likes fuchsia, that fuchsia bush needs a good prune. So I was a bit putty, really, because most years I just give it a light prune, as you might say. But this year I went right down to the soil so you could virtually only see just the shoots poking up. And I thought to myself, that will show everybody. That will show her. It's dead now. It's gone. And I could put someone else in there next year. But you know what? It ended up growing well. It is. It's doing as good as ever done. And I'm looking forward to... Dancing lady, it's here. Looking forward to the fruits, as it were, coming later in the year. And I just thought to myself, you know, there are times in our lives, and I can think of a few times in my life, when God expects us to prune things back, to cut things right back, to change direction
to change what you're doing, to stop doing certain things and to cut out certain things. So if he can bring back something that's beautiful and different.
I was thinking that this week because I went back to Birmingham to where I was brought up, and I drove through some of the streets that I spent a lot of time in as a youngster. And you know, I thought that when I left there, I thought it was the centre of the universe and the most wonderful place in the world. But you know, I've come to the conclusion it's not. The back streets of Birmingham are not the best place in the world, I've decided. When I got back to Kettering, I felt so pleased that God had taken me from where I wasn't to be and put me where I should be. And I just thank God that he did that, even though for 7 years I was quite angry that he should do that. So let's allow God to bless us. And let's allow God to change things. You know, we do have to move house, to change. We lose people. We lose friendships sometimes. And yet God has something better while we're still alive. May God bless us as we simply seek to live out our lives for him and enjoy the life that I do believe he gives us. So, we're going to sing again. Now, we're going to sing Jubilate, and my experience is after the first time you sing, you do it at a reasonable pace, the second time you go a bit faster. Okay? Think you're driving that national bus, Brian, when you do the second verse. I thought about you because I was overtaken by a national bus this week. I thought, I wonder if Brian's driving it, because I was doing 70. I wondered if Brian's driving it. So we're going to sing Jubilate, and then we're going to read God's Word. Let's read from God's Word. Now, the title this morning is Resurrection Thoughts, and I just thought I'd just read a few verses from 1 Corinthians 15 in order to just set the scene. But we are heading to Pentecost Sunday next Sunday, so we are coming to the end of what I call the sort of post-Easter resurrection season, and next Sunday is Pentecost, when we celebrate the arrival of God's Spirit. So 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 35. Because there is this complication that once you mention resurrection, people inevitably say, well, what's it like? What's it look like? But some may ask, how are the dead raised? What kind of body will they come in? How foolish we are. What we sow doesn't come to life unless it dies. When you sow, you do not plant the body that will be. You plant a seed, wheat, or something else. Then God gives it to the body that it deserves, each kind of seed to its own body. All flesh is not the same. Men have one kind of flesh, animals another, birds yet another. There are also heavenly bodies, and there are earthly bodies. But the splendor of the heavenly bodies is one kind, and the splendor of the earthly bodies is another. The sun has one kind of splendor, the moon another, and stars yet another. And stars differ from star in their splendor. So it shall be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown perishable will be raised imperishable, sown in dishonor, and raised in glory, sown in weakness, but raised in power, sown a natural body, and raised a spiritual body.
And Paul carries on just with a few verses, and then he says this: "Listen, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We shall be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. The trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. And the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. And the saying that is written will come true: death has been swallowed up in victory. So where, death, is your victory? Where, death, is your sting? And the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." This is good news. This is the future, and we can praise God for his promises to us. Let's turn to God as we pray for others. Let's pray. Well, we pray first of all for this church, and we pray for its members and deacons and leaders. We pray for wisdom and guidance and direction. We thank you that you've given to us those who lead us and guide us. And we thank you too, Lord, for each other, that we have fellowship one with another. And we pray your blessing upon each and every member of this church. For those who are friends and belong to the congregation too, we ask a blessing. Be with those who are unwell. Be with those who need encouragement in their lives. Be with those who find life a struggle and a difficulty, either because of age and frailty, or because of stresses and strains of life that come upon all of us. Lord, we do pray for your presence and peace upon every member and every friend of this church. We pray that you would enable us to grow together and be drawn together so that we might become a true body of Christ, able to bless others in this community. We pray, Lord, we don't have the offering anymore, but we do pray for the money that is given into bank accounts directly, for those who make direct giving and those who make other offerings to this church. And we do pray a blessing upon the offerings that are given and the money and the resources that come to this church. We pray, Lord, that they may be used wisely and that you will give a blessing to the givers. We pray, Lord, for our nation at this time, pray for our leaders. We pray for the seeming endless chaos that seems to come our way, whether it be through various problems like COVID or Partygate or whatever else it is, Lord. There's always something there to worry us and concern the leaders and distract us, the price of fuel and the cost of living and the various issues. We could list them in quite a list. We pray for wisdom for those who lead us, and we pray, Lord, that in each of our cases, in each of our circumstances, you will give to us a confidence and peace in your power and your ability to lift us. Lord, the psalmist often says that in times of famine and difficulty, you hold us and support us and carry us. And Lord, this morning, we put our trust in you and not in the leaders that we've appointed to bless us and to help us in our times of need. Be amongst us, we pray, as your people. Help us to trust, Lord, always in you. May it not just be words that we say, but the lifestyle that we live, with confidence and trust in your grace, your mercy, and your provision for our lives. We pray, Lord, for the world in which we live, the wider world. We think of the many who are suffering because of either climate change or particularly because of food scarcity at the moment. In so many nations, there's a scarcity of food. Famine does seem to be just a few weeks away in many cases. It's said there's only 10 weeks of wheat left in the world and the harvests won't be good. We pray, Lord, for those places like Pakistan with 51 degrees centigrade as a regular temperature at the moment, and even Spain at 41 degrees centigrade. But we pray for the situations of chaos, Lord, that seem to be developing in many places. And we think of those shooting in America. Children shot in their classrooms, just 9 and 10 years old. Think of the teachers who try to protect them, and we think of the families who have to face the future with their children having survived. Lord, we pray a blessing on that very difficult situation. And for the many circumstances that come into our mind at this time, we pray for your presence and your active peace. And we think of all who seek to work as missionaries and Christian ministers and people who pray for others. Lord, we pray a blessing that their prayers might be heard and their work might be useful to you and blessed of you. And for Ukraine. Well, it's difficult to know what to pray some days because we want to see peace, but we sense we're not going to get it as quick as we'd like. Well, we pray for that situation, and somehow, Lord, we would pray that you'd work a miracle, Lord, and just stop things and bring things to a change. Think of the horrors that we see and the hatred that is spread abroad. And we pray for your presence. Lord, hear our prayers. Hear the quiet and silent prayers that we pray in our hearts because we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. So we sing, Jesus is the name we honour. Just pray that God will speak to us. Lord, we just pray that somehow you will speak clearly to us this morning, whether it be through something I say, Lord, or indeed through the way in which you prompt our hearts. We ask that you bless us, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Remember that program, Mr. and Mrs., years ago? I mean, it's been presented by a number of people over the years. Derek Bateley was the man who presented it mostly, but Philip Schofield and Julian Clary have presented it. You know what happens? You get a couple on the stage and then you ask, put one in a box with music playing in their ears. And then you ask the other one some questions like, what's his favourite food? What's his favourite holiday? And my memory is they weren't very good at getting them right. And I don't know how you would do if you put your partner or someone you knew well and asked some questions. It's a good thought, isn't it? A good thought. It's like you'd like to think that the longer you've been married or the longer you've been with somebody, then you're in a situation where you know better their lives and what they like. But hey, that's how it goes. Now, this morning, our job is to recognize that we have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Many other religions, every other religion, worships or is led by a dead leader, Buddha, Muhammad. They're no longer alive. And yet we worship Jesus Christ, and he is alive. And he calls us to a partnership, to a relationship. He wants us to grow closer to him and to know him better. He's the risen Lord who lives amongst us. And our job, and this is our only task, really, our task is to know him better and to reflect him into the world in which we live. And we do that through our relationships with each other and with others. We get to know Jesus better by reading God's Bible, by coming to church, by reflecting, by praying ourselves, and indeed, by simply growing in Christ. Our relationship with Jesus is a bit like our marriage, or perhaps a relationship with a child, with a parent. As we go through life, we journey with them. And you know as well as I do, when you journey with somebody, you learn a lot. They say the best way to talk to a difficult child is to take them somewhere in a car, because you can sit driving and you can sit the child next to you and you can talk to them without looking at them. They have to listen because they can't get out. It's a good idea if you've got any problems. But it's also a good opportunity me and my wife, we drive to Cornwall a couple of times a year, and we like the 7 hours in the car. I put the armrest down, I hold my wife's hand, I put the thing on cruise control, and you enjoy yourself, you know? There's nothing better, is there? And if you stop at Colompton Service Station, Junction 28, not only do you get a McDonald's, but you also, if you stand and eat it by the car park, you can watch a train go in either direction, if you really want to, because it's the Southwest line, and I can never see a train when I'm driving past the line, but if you stop there at the service station, you can guarantee a couple of trains, one in each direction, and sometimes more than that. So it's a journey, and you look forward to a journey, and I like to think that as we look forward to the week ahead, we recognise that we shall journey with Jesus, a continued journey with him. And that's what we do. That's what we live for, to grow closer to him and to get to know him better, the crucified and risen Lord. And when Jesus meets people, I want to make an emphasis of this. When Jesus meets people, when he meets each of us, the paralyzed man, perhaps the adulterous woman taken in adultery, in the very act of adultery, it says, or in whatever situation, Zacchaeus, who was robbing people right, left, and center. The first thing Jesus says to these people is, "You are forgiven." And I think it's important to recognize that God's forgiveness is there. It's available. It's put in front of each of us this morning. It's placed there as a present. And our job is to open it. That's our job. And so many don't. So many leave it on the sea. So many leave it unopened. God has made this promise to us through Jesus Christ, through his sacrifice on the cross, that our sins are dealt with. They are taken. And they are dealt with. But our job is to accept it, to allow those truths to come into our lives by faith. It's so easy, is it not, for us to try and earn that forgiveness, to win that forgiveness in someone, to feel as though we deserved it. I mean, on the 3rd of March 1940, John Profumo became the MP for Kettering and this area. And as you know, John Profumo caused a lot of trouble in 1963 when the government fell because of his scandal and his misdeeds. Now, John Profumo wasn't the MP for Kettering then, he was the MP for Stratford-on-Avon, because he lost his seat in 1945. He was the youngest MP in 1940 to enter the House, age 25, and he had so much potential. He was a good-looking young man who had so much potential, and he became a cabinet minister, and then he made a mess of things. And he spent the rest of his life, he died in 2006, just in case you're interested, spent the rest of his life working quietly in the back streets of London for various charities, seeking to pay back for his sins. And for that, he was awarded an OBE and an MBE over the years. But it doesn't get rid of the sins, does it? That just makes you feel a bit better. Just takes the top off the weeds, doesn't it? Our job this morning is to accept Jesus Christ as the one who comes into our lives and takes away our sin, washes us completely clean, gets rid of all the roots and the stain that sin causes in our lives, and gives us truly a chance to start again. It's a true opportunity. It's not just a words that we speak. God makes it so that we have never sinned. Jesus justifies us with God, and you know what that word means. He makes it just if I've never sinned. That's how I see that. And he makes us clean and pure and ready for the future. Now, I'm afraid we shall get dirty as the week goes by. We shall need our feet washing next Sunday again, won't we? We shall need to seek God's forgiveness once again. You hoover my car, it's not long before it needs hoovering again. You know that, and I know that. But nevertheless, God offers to us this chance of true forgiveness and true cleansing through his dead and risen Son. You see, the resurrection of Jesus is the receipt that God gives that Good Friday was an acceptable sacrifice. I think it's important to realise that. I think it's important to recognise that it isn't just that Jesus died on the cross, because, to be honest, anybody could do that. But it's rising from dead. It's proving that God's power is present. It's proving that that was an acceptable sacrifice, that sin has truly been conquered. And God gives this receipt to the human race. He tells us that this is evidence, the resurrection of Jesus, the presence of Jesus. And you read the book of Acts and you see so many evidences of the risen Lord healing the man at the gate or whatever, healing all those people when Paul's shadow took them over. This is the presence of the risen Lord. You've got a receipt in your hand. You've got a lot of if you go into Currys and you've got some damaged goods, the first thing they say is, where's your receipt? If you haven't got the receipt, they're not interested. I won't talk to you. The resurrection of Jesus is the evidence that God has accepted his death as a sacrifice for our sins. And this morning, I think we have to celebrate that, to recognize that, and to really be joyful that God is about his business and his purposes are taking place. And so we come now to the thought of our own resurrection. It isn't just that Jesus has been risen from the dead, it's that we too will be risen. We too have the promise of a hope of life eternal. Our lives do not end when we get to the end of our human life in this world. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and life. Anyone who believes in me, even though they die, yet will they live. And this is the wonderful truth that we have to recognize. Just as we read in 1 Corinthians 15 this morning, we do know that seeds go into the ground. And when you put an acorn in the ground, you imagine if you'd never seen an oak tree. You could not imagine what an acorn might produce. You imagine if you'd never seen wheat. You couldn't imagine what a seed of wheat might produce. I'm always amazed at people who can look at seeds and know what they will grow into. And so we're faced with that same situation this morning. We don't know what we're going to look like when we rise from the dead. We don't know what it's going to be like. But we do know this. We're going to die like a seed dies in the ground. We're going to be planted, as it were, in God's garden. We are going to be raised by Christ's power into life eternal. This is the good news that we share this morning. But the resurrection of Jesus means for us also resurrection. It's a mystery. It's a mystery, certainly. Our bodies will be changed. For those who've died, they'll be changed as they rise. And for those, like perhaps if Christ was to return today, then we shall be also translated, as they might say, from this body into our new body. The power of death is gone. The sting of sin has been cancelled. Flesh and blood cannot inherit. I like the word inherit. You know, if someone said to me, you've inherited something, I'd be quite excited. Well, this morning, we inherit eternal life. We inherit from God. And you know as well as I do, there's no way that you can inherit anything unless the family owns it in the first place. You can't just inherit a position in the royal family, because we are royal people, aren't we? But when we belong to God, when we are part of God's family, then we can inherit from our brother Jesus Christ that life that goes on for all eternity. We inherit these things. It's a wonderful thought. Flesh and blood cannot inherit. We can only inherit those things that come from God himself. It's interesting, isn't it? The Good Samaritan story is told by Jesus, and Jesus says to the lawyer, because the lawyer says to Jesus, how can I inherit God's kingdom? It's an interesting word. How can I inherit it? He realized he couldn't earn it. And Jesus then answers him, not by a sentence, but by telling the story of the Good Samaritan. The priest and the Levite who walked by on the other side, and the Samaritan who couldn't control himself, who was filled with compassion, who wanted to do something for this man on the side of the road. You see, as we grow in Jesus Christ, as we seek our forgiveness of sins, and as we come to church and read our Bibles, we start to look like Jesus. We start to behave like Jesus. We start to do Jesus things. I remember when Marks and Spencer's was opening Kettering, I've told you before, I went into the Marks and Spencer's and that big glass door, and I thought, what's my dad doing in here? And suddenly I realized the reflection of the door of me. You know? I mean, my dad never liked Marks and Spencer's because he used to go and buy himself underwear. And the lady on the counter always shouted out, men's underwear, extra large. And he never liked buying them because the whole queue knew what size underwear he was wearing. But you know, we come to look like Jesus, and we come to behave like Jesus, and we do it. It's interesting that the priest and the Levite, the people who was in church the most, didn't behave like Jesus. It's interesting, isn't it? It's the man who didn't go to church as often, but who had a heart towards God that responded on that occasion. I know it's not a true story. I know it's just a parable, but Jesus tells it because he sees those sort of seeds and evidence around him that churchgoers and Christians are sometimes very judgmental, that we're not very good at showing the love and the grace of God, that we forget that we're all forgiven. And simply, we need to accept that forgiveness. All of us are forgiven, whoever we are, whatever we've done. President Putin is forgiven, if only he would accept the forgiveness that God offers to him. And that's where we are this morning, as we recognize this wonderful truth, that this is an availability, a whole brave new world that's available to us. So our job, as John chapter 6 tells us, when the disciples say, what can we do about the kingdom of heaven? He simply says, you've got to do my work, which is to believe in me. That's all he says, believe in me, trust in me, rely on me. You can't earn these things. This is something that is yours because you belong to me and you're part of the heavenly family. And so I just bring these thoughts this morning to us. It's just the thoughts that we have to take into our lives, perhaps, and we have to come to terms with what they mean, because, you know, sometimes, you know, it's ever so easy to look at other people and think that you do better than them, that you do behave better, and you are better. And sometimes we make judgments which are false judgments. Yet this morning we recognize that Christ died for all. Christ offers to all the package and the forgiveness of sins. And we can only receive that by accepting it. And then all these things come into play. Read 1 Corinthians 15, all these things come into play. We find ourselves heirs to a heavenly body and a heavenly future and a life beyond this world. As Paul puts it, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. To die is gain. My Bible notes this morning, as I was just thinking about this sermon, my Bible notes simply say this, that St. Paul some days really would like to have died, because it's better option. It really is a better option, because we can indeed gain heavenly life and eternity with God. And so these are the thoughts as we have this morning, the opportunity we have to accept Christ, to become more like Christ, to develop this relationship. I like to think that we can answer questions about what God thinks and what God likes and what his preferences are. I like to think our partnership and our relationship with Jesus is such that we get to know him better, so we understand him better, and we understand what he thinks about those around us who don't know him and don't love him. So may God help us. And may God bless us as we simply seek to serve him in these ways and to inherit eventually his kingdom and all that he has for those who love him and continue to walk with him. Amen. to finish a bit early this morning, give us a chance to have a bit more coffee, I think. Hey. Now, farmers, I was just thinking, my brother-in-law, he's 70, he lives in New Zealand now, and he got a bit fed up with the Anglian water in East Anglia, because they would never let him have enough water to water his fields. So he went to live in New Zealand, and he's got 10 acres of kiwi fruit, yeah, which he looks after. And he just can't get him off the farm, because he just loves his work so much. He's 70 years old, and he still works from morning till night. And I just think, you know, farmers, they do have this commitment, don't they? It puts me to shame, really, because I just feel as though sometimes us Christians look a bit more dedicated, a bit more committed to people and to God's things, as my brother-in-law is to his kiwi fruit and all the hope we have of a good harvest year by year. So may God bless us. And we're going to sing our final hymn, which is Thine Be the Glory, Risen Conquering Son, as we sing our faith and remember God's goodness to us. May the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit come and rest and remain with us, with those we love, and with those we should love, now and for always.